17. We're thankful for how God is already moving, and I just feel like it's confirmation of what he's been speaking to me about, and I pray that God helps me to relate that to us here today. And then we ask that God would confirm his word with signs following. That God would confirm. His word's already anointed. But God, help us to do whatever we can do to be in the position to where he can confirm his word among us with signs following. I believe God for that today. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Why we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Today I want to talk to us about something that it's beyond what we see. It's beyond what we can experience in the natural here today. I want to talk to us about a world more real. It's more real even than what we're seeing here today. It's more real even than what we're touching here today. But if through the Spirit we can allow God to open some things to our understanding, we're going to experience a world more real even than this today. Would you pray? God, I thank you for your word and your power. I thank you for your presence, God. I pray that you would move and minister in us. We need you, Lord. God, we're nothing without you. But I pray that you would pull back the veil a little bit here today and help us to catch a glimpse of the eternal. Help us to catch a glimpse of the spiritual. Let us catch a little glimpse of the supernatural today. And we give you all the praise, all the glory, all the honor, Jesus. In your name we pray right now, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Dimensions. We are all accustomed to living in a three-dimensional world. There is height. There is width, there's depth. This is the world that we live in. We see it with our eyes, we perceive it with our brain. We interact with this three-dimensional world using our hands and our feet. Everything we know is based on three dimensions. There are also times that we deal with a world that is reduced to two dimensions. Printed materials are on a flat surface. Yet from a flat surface, we are able to imagine a three-dimensional world. We mentally move between two and three dimensions very easily. We can watch a video on a flat screen. And while it is only in two dimensions, we can imagine it in three dimensions. Or with 3D glasses, we can see it as if it was in three dimensions. So it is with photos and with many other things, and without even thinking, we can quickly move between the two. Architects will look at two-dimensional plans, and they can visualize a three-dimensional building. They even use software to create three-dimensional impressions, but it's still on two-dimensional paper or two-dimensional screens. Yet beyond the three dimensions that we are accustomed to, the Bible tells us of another dimension that was occasionally experienced by those who were living in three dimensions. For instance, in the first chapters of Genesis, we see that Adam walked in the presence of God. He walked and he talked with him until sin drove a wedge between God and man, which cut off that daily experience with that fourth dimension. We read of Enoch. The Bible says simply that Enoch walked with God and that he was not, for God took him. Abraham spoke with God and he heard his voice. Angels appeared in the form of men. They had no difficulty moving between the unseen world of that next dimension and our three-dimensional reality. Moses, up on the mountain, he was able to see the back of God as he passed by. Daniel met with an angel after 3 weeks of fasting while he was beside a natural river. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in the fiery furnace with one who looked like the Son of God, and even King Nebuchadnezzar saw him. Elijah was taken to that next dimension in a chariot of fire. After him, Elisha could see the armies of God, and he asked for his servant's eyes to be opened. And when they were, then his servant could see beyond the natural and know that there were more with them than were against them. And I can't help but feel a drawing of the Spirit here today that there is something, there is a pull, there is something that's happening beyond what we can see in the natural. It's more than just what we can pick up in our flesh. But if we will feel after the Spirit, if we will open our hearts to the supernatural today, if we'll let the Holy Ghost have its way in each of us, then our eyes can be opened and there can be something happen here today that's not possible in a three-dimensional world. But the only explanation is that what takes place in our midst today, it has to be something supernatural. It has to be something beyond human understanding, beyond human ability. Come on, does anybody desire to experience that here today? In the New Testament, after his resurrection, we see Jesus moving between these dimensions. He was seen in the natural, and yet he was able to come through the wall into a closed room where the apostles were. There he showed them his hands and his feet, which had been pierced. Thomas was able to thrust his hand in his side where the spear went. And Jesus then, and the natural, ate fish and honeycomb with them. Later, they watched him with their own eyes as he ascended up into the heavens. He was able to move between the natural and the physical. Philip the evangelist was preaching in Samaria when God directed him to go to the desert. And while he's there, he runs into the Ethiopian eunuch and he witnesses to him and he baptizes him. And then the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip so that the eunuch saw him no more. And Philip was found miles away at another city. That didn't happen in a three-dimensional realm. That happened in a spiritual dimension. It was a supernatural thing. What does the word supernatural mean? It's defined as relating to what exists beyond the visible, observable universe. It's beyond what is normal, especially so as to appear to transcend the laws of nature. You see, something supernatural is something that's outside the boundaries of nature. It's something outside the laws of physics. It's something we can't understand in our own human terms, but it's beyond that which is natural. It is supernatural. God who created the universe, God who spoke life into existence, God who formed us in our mother's womb, who created all things, it's God who designed the laws of physics. It's God who set the natural laws, and we may not be able to change natural laws, but God can move anytime he wants to suspend the laws that he created and set up from the beginning. Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful today if his Spirit would move in this place and that some of those natural laws would be put on hold for just a little while so that his Spirit could work and he could do miracles in this place. With Jesus, it will happen. Come on, can anybody claim that today? With Jesus, it will happen. It can't happen in me. It can't happen in my flesh. It can't happen in the natural, but it's going to happen in the spiritual today. With Jesus, it will happen. Hey man, I pray today that God would just put the natural laws on hold a little while and that we'd leave here with the manifestation of the glory of God in a way that we can't explain in natural terms. But the only thing we could say is it had to be God. It had to be supernatural. It had to be the power of God that worked and did a miracle and moved in us. We read in Genesis 1 and 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning. And indeed, it was the beginning as we know it. The beginning of time. But it was not the beginning of God. For he has no beginning. God exists in eternity, which transcends time. But in the beginning of time, when the clock started ticking, God began with the creation of things that are measured by time. You see, before this, God simply existed. John chapter 1 and verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And then God created the heaven and the earth. He set all of this into motion. The Creator created his creation, and he formed it as he wanted it. He made us as he chose to make us, and he breathed the breath of life into us, and man became a living soul. We were all created inside of time, but think about this with me here today. We are not just physical beings. We are not just natural beings, but we are spiritual beings. But right now, we're in a physical body, but we're spiritual. We have a dual nature, so to speak. And when this body goes as long as it can in this world, and when they bury us in the grave, our soul is still going to live on in eternity. The Apostle Paul said there is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Too many of us live just for the natural. Too many live just for what we can see and just for what we experience in three dimensions. Decisions are made based solely on the natural. People choose the life they live based on just what's in the natural. They invest the years that they've been given according to natural things. But we must not forget there is a natural body and there is a spiritual body which will live on long after the natural body has passed away. And somehow today this pastor, this preacher needs to get our attention beyond just the natural. Because the spiritual dimension is what really matters. We are spiritual beings who are only for a time in this natural body. Our text in 2 Corinthians 4:18 declares, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I know that this life seems real to us. It's real. When we go to work and when we pay the bills and when we file our taxes and when we take care of kids and when we get along with our spouse and when we deal with life, all of that seems pretty real. But somehow we need to take another step in the spirit today to see some things that are really real. We can't see them in the natural. We can't see it in our flesh, but oh, we must see some things that are not seen, because it's those things that are eternal. And if we can see through the natural into the spiritual realm, then we will see into a dimension where there is a world that is more real than anything we've ever experienced in this life. And that is what we were truly made for. 1 Corinthians 13 and 12 says, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. You see, right now it's like we're looking through a glass. We're looking through a telescope. We can see some, but it's at a great distance. But there's coming a day when we're going to see things face to face.
to face. And what we just can't understand right now, one day it's going to be obvious to us. We will see God face to face, and we will know as we are known by him. The things that we can't understand right now, one day they'll be made plain to us. I tell you, it's a world even more real than this world that we're in here today. And somebody needs to look not at the things you can see with your natural eye, because that's just temporary, but you need to look beyond that into the spirit to realize there's something eternal, and I've got to reach for it. I've got to grasp for it. I've got to experience it here today. Oh, we'd better not put off getting ready for that day, even though we don't comprehend it all right now. It's hard to understand with our limited thinking. But the thing about eternity is it's more real than the reality we're experiencing here today. And if we're going to be prepared for it, then we must live our lives according to the Word of God. Why do we live by the Word of God? Why is everything that we do and everything we teach and everything we live by, why is it according to this book? The Bible is an old book. It's many say it's outdated and it's just old-fashioned and it's from ancient times. But there's a reason why we go to the Bible for everything that we do. Because if we're going to live for eternity, then we have to do the things that are based on something that will last for eternity. The Word of God, it was in the beginning with God. Hey, I tell you, it's forever settled. And if we're going to be ready for eternity, we've got to live according to the Word of God. We need to have a fresh love for His Word. Come on, we need to develop a fresh love for the things of God that are based upon His Word. We don't need to read everything else before we read the Word of God. The Word of God ought to be first. It ought to be foremost in our life, because that's what we've got to cling to. That's what's going to take us on through eternity. The Apostle Paul caught a glimpse of that next dimension. In 2 Corinthians 12:2, he wrote, "I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven, and I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter." There's not many who can say they've experienced that. But we believe that Paul was humbly speaking of himself in the scripture, how he was caught up into the third heaven, into another dimension, a world that is even more real than what he had experienced here on this earth. In fact, it was so real to him. It was so real to him that he said, "I couldn't even tell whether I was in the body or out of the body." And he heard unspeakable words, which are not lawful for man to speak. There's no telling what he saw and what he heard. There's no telling what he experienced. It was supernatural. It was another dimension. And I believe today that it's God's desire to give those who are hungry for it a glimpse, just a glimpse of that next dimension, just a touch of that supernatural power, an experience where they know it has to be the work of God. It has to be a miracle. It must be the Spirit of God. There'll be no other explanation for what takes place. We couldn't handle all of it, but it'll be just a glimpse. And he wants to give us a little taste, a tiny portion of experience. It won't be for everyone, but there are some who are hungry. There are some that they desire that experience. They are so ready to have a miracle. They're so willing to see it that they're going to put aside everything else. And they're going to pray like never before. And they're going to press through like they've never done. They're going to draw near to God, so near that he draws near to us. And for those who are willing to go that extra mile, God is going to give a glimpse of a world that's more real than anything we've ever experienced here in this life, in the natural. Is anybody hungry for that? Come on, does anybody desire that in your heart? Are you ready to press through until we break through into another dimension where the power of God flows freely? And though we're trapped here in this natural world, God pulls back the veil for just a little while and we see into that spiritual realm to experience the supernatural. Come on, I want to see signs and miracles and wonders to have an encounter with God that we can't explain in the natural, because God, for a few moments, gives us a glimpse of eternity. Oh, come on, if you desire to see that, if you want to have that happen, would you lift your hands right now? Would you ask God for it? God, we want to see it. We want to experience it. We want to see it happen here today. God, we are hungry. We have a desire in our hearts for something that can't be explained in natural terms. But the only explanation is it was a miracle in our midst. It was the power of God moving among us. It was something supernatural. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. I believe it's God's will for us to go to that next dimension, to experience His power in a mighty way, but we have to be willing to pay the price. After Paul described being taken up into the third heaven, he goes on to write in 2 Corinthians 12:7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He says, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul noted that there was a possibility that in experiencing the abundance of revelations, in experiencing those powerful things of the Spirit, that he could possibly become exalted above measure, that he would be so heavenly minded that he'd be no earthly good. And he speaks of this thorn in the flesh that was given to him. He says it was a messenger of Satan sent to buffet him, to harass him, to torment him, to keep him. But it was really allowed by God to keep him from getting arrogant and conceited and lifted up. He asked the Lord to remove it, but God simply said, you know what? My grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. Come on, I've come to tell somebody today, maybe you've been battling some things. Maybe you've been going through some trials. Maybe you've been experiencing some things that it's almost like it's tormenting you. But I've come to tell you, maybe it's just because God has a work for you to do. And this is something that's going to keep you grounded. This is something that's going to keep your head straight. This is going to remind you, it's not you, but it's God that's working through you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I've come to tell you, God's grace is sufficient. God's grace is sufficient. And no matter what you go through, no matter what God allows in your life, you cling to the grace of God, because He's going to bring you through and He's going to work miracles through your life. His strength is made perfect in weakness. His strength is made perfect in weakness. Sometimes it's good not to be strong, because to enter into that spiritual dimension, we have to be well aware of our weaknesses. That's why Paul How could Paul say, I take pleasure? Sometimes we go through stuff, but to take pleasure in it? I take pleasure in infirmities, in weaknesses, in hardships, in persecutions, and difficulties. For when I am weak, he says, then am I strong. There's some things it just takes the strength out of you. There's some things it just leaves you. You just don't have anything left to give. But that's in the place that you can be most powerful, in the presence of God, because that's when God steps in. And you know it's not you in the natural. You know it's not you in the flesh. You know it's not your wisdom. You know it's not your ability. But it had to be God, because you were so weak you couldn't do anything on your own. I tell you today, it's a life lived by faith. And it's got to be walking in faith and seeing in faith and trusting God and following the leading of His Spirit when we don't understand it. But we take each step by faith. Hebrews 11 and 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the key to the next dimension. Faith is the key to the next dimension. It's the evidence of things not seen. That's how we see into the eternal. That's how we experience the supernatural. It can't be explained. It can't be understood in the natural because it's supernatural, but we have to experience it by faith. But it can be experienced. Paul went to Athens. It was a place known for education, for philosophy and knowledge. And Socrates and Plato and Aristotle all taught there. They sought to understand everything. They sought to explain everything. And Paul was able to relate to them because he was well educated himself. Now, I'm for education. I'm thankful for my degree and my education. I want to further my education even more, but sometimes we have to put our education aside and we've got to learn to walk by faith. Reading Acts 17 and 22, then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and he said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. You see, we can experience a world that is more real than what we know here in the natural. We can see into that next dimension, that dimension of faith, that dimension of the Spirit, where miracles happen and things happen they're supernatural, and you can't explain it by this world's understanding, but it's in another dimension. We can have that if we will seek the Lord. Paul said it this way, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. It's kind of like finding your way in the dark. You come in, it's dark in the bedroom and your wife's rearranged the furniture. You take a left and head to the restroom. Oh, boom, there's a chest there. Oh, there's a chair. Oh, okay. And you're feeling around in the dark trying. It's kind of like that with God. You can't see it exactly with your natural eyes, but he's there. He's not far from you. He's not far from any one of us, but you can feel your way toward him. You can reach out for him, and you can find him. He's not far from any one of us, but we have to seek after him. we can't just expect it to fall in our lap. We can't just come to church and have church as usual and just think, well, I'm just going to sit here and we're going to see the supernatural happen. I'm just going to show up and we're going to have miracles. No, that's not how it is. There's got to be a feeling after the Lord. There's got to be a feeling after His Spirit. There's got to be a moving in the Spirit. We've got to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. We've got to pray and seek after Him. But if we will seek after Him, then we will experience those little glimpses of the supernatural world, those little connections with another dimension. And there will be miracles that take place that we can't explain, but it's a supernatural thing. Hallelujah. I'll never forget when I saw that lady prayed for and her legs were two different lengths. And they set her down in a chair and stretched her legs out and begin to pray. And I'm telling you, something began to happen, and that shorter leg began to grow until they were even. You can't explain that in the natural. Amen. There was nobody adjusting her back. They were just praying, and those legs, and that leg began to grow. It was a miracle, and we can have those things happen. We can have a word from God that tells you what to do because you don't know what to do, and you're asking God, give me wisdom, give me understanding, and there can be a word from God that directs you. We can have powerful services where people come in, and they're bound by drugs. They're bound by addiction, but all of a sudden they surrender to God and He delivers them from all of that. We can have answers to prayer where we pray in an impossible situation. God opens the door and makes a way. Hallelujah. Throughout the Bible, we find accounts where people experience the supernatural with real evidence here in the natural. They caught a glimpse of a world that was more real than anything they've known in the flesh. The manna fell from heaven. Where would it come from? What made it? What atoms went into the forming of that? It must have been from another world. Wouldn't you like to analyze the genetic structure of the manna? Because it was supernatural. The oil that was replenished for the widow in the famine, where'd it come from? How'd that happen? You can't explain that. The loaves and the fishes feeding the 5,000. Jesus prayed and He blessed it, and then He began to break it and it just kept multiplying. That doesn't happen in the natural, but somehow they had the evidence right there in their hands of a miracle. Jesus went to the wedding and He turned the water into wine. And oh, there was a transformation there. And I remember in Sunday school, they used to put Kool-Aid powder in the bottom and they'd pour water in there, and all of a sudden it'd be great Kool-Aid. But this was more than that. There was a chemical reaction, and something happened. It was a supernatural thing that took place. And we can connect with that dimension. We can connect with the world that is even more real than this natural physical realm. You see, everything we see around us today with the natural eye, this is temporary. This is temporary, but it's what we can't see that will last forever, and that's what's most important. Would you stand with me here today? I believe that God wants to do it. I believe God wants to reveal some things to us in the Spirit. I believe God wants to pull the veil back just a little bit to give us a glimpse of something that's supernatural, but there has to be a hunger in our hearts. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, I feel this in my spirit. I felt it. I felt it last night. I feel it this morning. I feel it right now. There is a miracle for someone here in this house today. It has been confirmed over and over and over again in this service, but somebody's got a feel after it. Come on, you need to just close your eyes in the natural, and you need to feel after the things of the spirit for a moment. Come on, you need to pray in the Holy Ghost right now. You need to seek the things of God right now. Come on, put everything else in the natural out of your mind and seek after the spirit right now. Come on, there's a burden here today. Somebody needs to reach out, and you need to find the Lord. He's not far from you. He's not far from you, but you've got to seek after him. You've got to press through. You've got to press beyond what you've ever known in this natural realm. Come on, whatever you feel comfortable with. If you want to make your way to this altar, if you want to wear a mask and all that, please, please do so. If you want to pray right there, that's fine. But I want you to feel after the Lord. I want you to press after his presence right now. God, we need you in this house. We need you in this house, Lord. I've got to get beyond the physical realm. I've got to get beyond the natural realm. I've got to see into the spiritual today. I've got to have a miracle, God. I've got to have a miracle, God. Yes, Lord, I've got to have a miracle, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, I want to know when I leave here today that there's been something supernatural. It's taken place right before us here today. There's been a supernatural miracle. There's been a word from God. There's been an answer from heaven. There's been a move of the Spirit. I can't explain this in wisdom. I can't explain this by education. It's something that confounds those who are wise. But Lord, this is your spirit moving. This is your power working. In the name of Jesus, come on, feel after the spirit here today. But it's a supernatural thing in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that that you would let cancer, let it fall off right now in the name of Jesus. I pray, God, that you would let somebody that's listening or that's here today and doesn't even believe in you, somebody who doesn't even believe in the supernatural, God, let them have an experience in this house where they know that you are real.